This is Jaguars Postgame, presented by Baptist Health System, GEICO, Rouse Chiropractic Clinic, and by Everbank. Stand by for highlights and the best analysis of today's Jaguars game. We go back to the broadcast booth. Here's Brian Sexton.
All right, welcome back. The Jaguars win it in Houston, 13-6. First time they've won here in 4 years, and they end a five-game losing streak to the Houston Texans, back-to-back AFC South champions, a team that most believed coming into this season would be a contender for the Lombardi Trophy. They're taking it kind of hard here. John McClain, the longtime NFL writer for the Houston Chronicle, is tweeting and tweeting quickly about head coach Gary Kubiak's team, which has lost 9 straight ball games.
Yeah, he basically tweets that he would be surprised, almost calling for Bob McNair to fire.
But you know,
Gary Kubiak,
that was the word in 2010. They didn't. They bring in Wade Phillips, and they've had their best 2 seasons. They've had a tremendous run of injuries here. Obviously, the quarterback, Matt Schaub, is not playing very well and has been benched. We'll see what happens. But the story, as far as we're concerned, is the Jaguars come out, take on a team with the number one defense in football, the Houston Texans, and they make something happen. First play of the ball game is a sack, and Chad Henne loses, you know, 7-8 yards. You're thinking, uh-oh. But on that drive, a short throw, catch by Ace Sanders, 52 yards later, Jaguars are set up to go up 7-0. Third straight week they score on their opening drive. That hasn't happened for this team since 98. So let's give you some of the numbers, folks. This is our Comcast Business final fast stats check. Jaguars put up 333 yards, their most productive day since London a month ago. 215 from the passing attack against the number one defense in football. Chad Henne, 23 of 32 for 239 yards. Didn't throw a touchdown, but didn't throw a pick. Passer rating 93.1. He moved the ball around a lot of different guys. By my count now, 9 different guys had a shot at the ball today. Cecil Shorts, 8 catches for 71 yards. He could have had more. He had a couple of key drops. Ace Sanders had 4 for 61, including that 51-yarder, now they're saying. Maurice Jones-Drew, 6 for 60. Mercedes Lewis, Justin Forsett, Clay Harbor, Kerry Taylor, Jordan Todman all came down with 1. The ground game, most productive day since last December the 23rd against New England. Maurice Jones-Drew, 14 carries, 84 yards. That's 6.0 yards per carry. Did have his 5th touchdown of the year. And, of course, he had a 44-yard run. And for the Jaguars, the ability to run the ball was so critical today, Tony. And running the ball set up a chance to go 7 of 17 on third down.
And the time of possession, 33 minutes, over 33 minutes by the Jaguars. And a lot of that is because of the run game. And listen, we came into it saying they needed to run the ball. They needed to be able to run the ball, and they needed big plays. They got both of those things. Now, offensively, listen, they only scored 6 points after the first drive. Yeah. This is really a defensive win. I mean, the defense, again, back-to-back weeks, outstanding against the rush. Only gave up 77 yards against the Texans today. Only 218 total yards. I mean, defensively, I thought they played last week. Yes, Carson Palmer had a lot of yards in the air, but that was some big plays. And Bob Babich, his group, they did an outstanding job. They were all over the place. They made it very difficult to run the ball. Case Keenum wasn't great, but a lot of that was affected by pressure and blitzes and,
well,
and
so
guys
much
winning one-on-one. I mean, listen, this is a good team football win. Back-to-back wins on the road, first time since 2008. Well, we mentioned that earlier. Hats off.
Let's go back to the run defense for a moment, because as we talked about in the pregame show, the Texans' offense is so dependent on the ability to run with the cutback, with the play action. How about the Jags' run defense? You mentioned 77 yards today. They were giving up 162 a game going into the bye week, coming out of London, where they allowed the Niners to go for more than 200. In the last 3 weeks, they've given up 174 yards total to the Titans, to the Cardinals, who both have good running backs. And here, with Ben Tate averaging 4.6 a carry, to the Texans, that's 58 yards a game. Well, they are playing well 3 games in a row.
Think back when we were in the bye week, what we talked about, how can this team get better? And Jeff and I both agreed they can get better by becoming better against the run and better at running the ball, meaning that the offense and defensive fronts could get better, and they have. And that's why they've won 2 of the last 3 ball games, is because they're better in the front 7 and they're better in the offensive line.
Texans came into today's ball game being one of just 2 teams in the NFL with a top 10 offense and a top 10 defense.
So much for statistics.
Well, right. That doesn't tell the whole story. Jaguars get 333 against the number one defense, and the number 8 ranked offense, only 218 yards of offense. 141 from Case Keenum in the passing attack. He was 18 of 34, did throw the one pick, 54.7 his passer rating at the end. Their leading receiver was the tight end Griffin in terms of yardage, 1 for 37. Andre Johnson had just 2 for 36. Graham had 5 for 32. Tate had 5 for 26. Jaguars did a nice job. The leading rusher today for Houston, Johnson, the undrafted rookie from Arkansas, 13 carries, 74 yards, and a long of 29. And Jeff Loggeman's in the locker room. We're waiting on the head coach. Tony's been talking about what an effective job this defense really did today.
Well, what, three weeks in a row stop and run. Now, last week they gave up a bunch of yards passing, but with a young first-year quarterback in Case Keenum clearly struggling to find his top receiver, Andre Johnson. I mean, what a nice win. You know, special teams, I think, played a factor in it as well. They did a great job of containing Keyshawn Martin. Offensively, you did just enough, and defensively, I mean, just a great job, and I think the real key to that was the fast start in which they held the Houston Texans in the first half to 60 yards and four consecutive three and outs.
Well, our broadcast today is brought to you by Crown Royal Maple. Whiskey started, maple finished. Jeff is downstairs waiting on the first word from head coach Gus Bradley. We also, Jeff talked about the Jaguars running game today and Maurice Jones-Drew, who led a 118-yard surge. And Tony, you guys were talking about the offensive line and how well they played for most of the ball game.
Listen, we talked about J.J. Watt, both Jeff and I, and what an outstanding player he is. But was he terribly impactful? Now, he had the blocked field, but that was
huge. And a sack.
And one sack. But was he dominant? Was he controlling the game where you felt like you just couldn't do anything? No. He had some big plays. He's going to. He's an outstanding player. The best defensive player in the league probably right now. But for the most part, they did a good job. Protection was good enough. Chad Henne hung in there. They rushed for 118. I give those guys a ton of credit. Good game plan. They had to double them most of the time, and they handled it outstanding. I just can't say enough of coming into this game because both Jeff and I were worried about it. We were worried about the matchup of J.J. Watt and Antonio Smith against that offensive line. And for the most part, I thought they neutralized those guys doing a good job and enough to get a victory.
Jaguars win it today 13-6 over the Texans. They are now 2-9 on the season. And by the way, they will see these Texans again in 11 days. They'll see them for Thursday Night Football a week from Thursday. So we'll just see if the Jaguars were able to do what once or whether they can build on this against an explosive offense. How about the coverage down the field today? Andre Johnson, if Matt Schaub is playing, probably sees the ball a whole lot more than he did. But you would think, and Jeff mentioned all week long, that the one thing that Case Keenum really did well was get the ball to Andre Johnson. He wasn't, he didn't today.
Not today.
He didn't. He only threw at him about four times.
And if you're Matt Schaub, don't you have to be sitting on the sideline saying, I've got benched for this performance?
I would. I mean, I'd be questioning it myself.
What you've seen the last couple of weeks, yes, Case Keenum had some nice games and he's dynamic. He does some things with his feet. But I'm not sure he gives you a better chance of winning than Matt Schaub does.
No, I would say right now.
I don't think he does.
Because of some of the throws, like the one to DeAndre Hopkins, it was just off.
And there was guys that were open. I mean, and there were opportunities I thought that a veteran quarterback would have taken when they dialed up the blitz, they went single high, had man coverage on Andre Johnson, where you just throw it up and hope that your best player can make a play, and they never really tried that.
You know, another guy whose name I felt like I called a lot today was Jonathan Cyprian, who was both active in coverage and against the run. You know, Jeff said to me after last week's game, the guy's a stud, he's really playing well. And when we talk about this football team and some young players, Dwayne Grotz, obviously, Josh Evans had a couple of plays today. You know, the one thing you can say, and what you want to say about this team at the end of the year, some young players are starting to get it. They're accelerating. They're, whatever you want to say, they're on the rise at the end of the year.
I like our secondary going into next year. I mean, if everyone stays healthy, and obviously maybe you want to add a guy here, nickel or whatever, but Will Blackman's done a good job when he's healthy. But if you had to look at going to next year, you have Alan Ball, who's had a very good, best free agent signing of Dave Caldwell this offseason. You have Grotz, who's an up-and-coming player who's only going to get better. You love what you see there. You have Josh Evans. You have Jonathan Cyprian, the two guys in the back half. Don't forget Winston Guy, who can be a third safety. I mean, you have some guys that you feel confident going into next year in that secondary.
All right, let's check in with Jeff, who has head coach Gus Bradley in the Jaguars locker room. Jeff.
All right, thank you, Brian. Gus, congratulations. A great team victory. I think all three phases played a part in this win.
It was. I mean, that's what we just talked to the team about. Every phase of our game we needed. And the cool thing was we had adversity in all three of the phases. And for us to really battle through that, stay strong, convicted, and to illustrate on the field is great.
What a start by the defense. In the first five possessions, the Texans had the ball, four of them three and outs. They had 60 yards of offense at the half.
Yeah, you know what? We just keep getting better and better. And we know that's a challenge each week. But we really like the steps that we're moving forward with the defense as far as, you know, we have to slow down the run and then the explosive passes. You know, I think they had two on the game. That was something that we really emphasized, especially with a guy like Johnson, so critical.
Yeah, Johnson had two catches in the ball game. Really wasn't much of a factor. What was the key in stopping him?
Well, I think it was just awareness. Without getting too out of whack, I mean, there's other receivers that they have that we had to be aware of. I think guys really just stayed true to what we were trying to do and, you know, play in and play out series after series. You know, we'd like to get more takeaways. We had an opportunity there with Sip. But, you know, that's another phase that we have to work on.
Offensively, the first game over 100 yards rushing yet this year. And it really kept the Texans off balance and allowed Chad Henne to be efficient.
Well, it did. It kept them their offense off the field. In critical times, we had to run the ball and we got some yards. And it was good to see Mojo get going. I mean, we rolled some guys in there. Tymon got more carries with the idea of keeping Mojo fresher. And, you know, I think it helped out.
How about Ryan Davis from practice squad to 2 weeks later, a hero?
You know, isn't it great? And the team knows he deserves that opportunity. He deserved it last week, again this week. And for him, you know, we preach coming out of the stack and do it every play and for that one time that it could happen. And that's what he did. So a lot of things we can really illustrate to our team that validates what we're all about.
Injuries to report. The only guy that I noticed that got dinged up, Justin Forsett. How's he?
Yeah, he's in a boot right now. So I think they'll evaluate him further. We'll know more tomorrow.
All right, thank you, Gus. Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right, that's head coach Gus Bradley, and you heard the Baptist injury update presented by Baptist Health System. Changing healthcare for good. 13-6, Jaguars win it at Reliant Stadium. When we come back, we will have our Bueller Swiss Watch MVP and our Bud Light Play of the Game before passing it off to J.P. Marco, Jay Gray, and our entire crew back at the HenneyAutos.com studios. Back after this to Reliant Stadium, you're listening to Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to Reliant Stadium. The Jaguars victorious today, ending a five-game losing streak against the division rival Houston Texans. 13-6 the final. Maurice Jones-Drew finished with 84 yards rushing on 14 carries. He also caught six passes for 60 yards. Math is a 144, which makes that his most productive day since September of 2012. And he is our Bueller Swiss Watch MVP, and he's with Jeff Longman.
All right, thank you, Brian. Maurice, your most productive day. Brian just got done rolling out the numbers, and how big is that to have that in a winning performance?
I just think, we executed our game plan very well this week. There's some gaping lanes I was running through on one of the outside zones I think I took for like 40 or 50. I didn't get touched until 40 or 50 yards. So offensive line did a great job today. We had a tough challenge. Their front seven's probably one of the top in the league with J.J. Watt and Smith, and they had some guys. So our offensive line took that challenge and made it easier for the backs this week.
And how important, you just talked about keeping those guys off balance, running the football, first time in the year over 100 yards rushing as a team, and did not allow J.J. Watt and Antonio Smith to be factors.
That's the key. You know, every week you want to minimize their playmakers' plays. And even though J.J. Watt, I think, had one or two sacks this week or today, we were able to do some things against him that, you know, opened some holes in the run game and gave Chad some time in the passing game. And we know when we give them time, our receivers are going to get open, and they did.
Big picture. You know, here you are, six game remaining. You come to Houston, you get a win with a new GM and a new coach, and he's talking about building a culture. I'm seeing a football team get better in the last 3 weeks.
Oh, definitely. I think, the first 8 weeks were pretty tough. After bye week, you know, I think I said it before, when a coach gives you a week off after an 0-8, you know, and the bye week is kind of like, wow, you know, he really believes in us. And we just came back and we just kept practicing. Had a tough win against Tennessee, came back, had a tough loss against Arizona, and a tough win this week. So we just want to keep battling, keep improving. A lot of young guys are getting a lot of experience. They're playing much better. And we're starting to get our groove again and on offense. So we want to continue to work on that. We have another tough opponent in Cleveland coming up. and in Cleveland, so it'll be something we have to look forward to.
Game at the end there, the Texans got the ball. Ryan Davis makes an interception. How about that?
I know a guy that we put up off practice squad who's been making plays against our offense all year. You know, it's just kind of symbolic of what we've gone through as a team. You know, you pull a guy up, he's been fighting his butt off all week, ready to get out there. Got out there last week, got some pressure, and this week he gets a tip, one-handed pick. So, hey, you can't ask for nothing else than that.
All right, thank you, Maurice.
No problem.
All right, that's Maurice Jones-Drew, our Bueller Swiss Watch MVP. He'll receive a Bueller Swiss Watch, the official watch of the Jaguars. You can get yours at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, Park Jewelers in Lake Mary, the Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Cranford Jewelry in Moultrie, Georgia, and Hope Jewelers in Jacksonville. Coming in a very close second, Tony Boselli, Chad Henne.
I thought, yeah, listen, we all agree Maurice was outstanding today, best day of the year, and was great both in the run and the pass game. Caught some great balls and turned them up and broke tackles and was outstanding. But Chad Henne, he was outstanding as well. He did a great job of directing traffic, managing the game. And I can't tell you how many times he stood in the pocket and took big hits and still delivered strikes.
All right, Jeff Loggeman is back downstairs. He's got Andre Branch, who played a whale of a ball game. He was all over the place, had a couple of tackles, had a big sack for 19 yards and another tackle for a loss and a pass defensed. Jeff.
All right, thank you, Brian. Andre, defensively, you guys are just getting better and better and better, and that's got to feel good.
It feels great. You know, we're starting to gel together. Coach Babbage called one hell of a game. The D-line played outstanding, but we owe it all to the DBs covering and the linebackers.
Stopping the Texans' running game had to be priority number one, and in the first half, the Texans' offense was almost non-existent. They only had 60 yards of offense.
Definitely. You know, when you play the Texans, it's going to be a smash-mouth game. We went into the game, and we knew we had to stop the run, and that's what we went out here and did today.
How big is this win for this football team and the building of something going into the future?
It feels great. You know, every win is a good win, but we stayed on the path that we continue to do during the season, and we're starting to turn things around.
When you guys are on the sideline offensively, you get to watch them. They've been struggling to run the football. This is the first game of the season in which they were over 100 yards rushing. Chad Henne was efficient. That had to be good to watch.
Yeah, like I said, everything is starting to turn around, and it's starting to be a great feeling, and everybody's starting to see. We know what we have in our locker room, and the world is starting to see that now.
All right, thank you, Andre.
No problem.
All right, there's Andre Branch, who has his third sack of the season, a young guy really starting to play well. He may need a little perspective on the global issues regarding the NFL and the Jaguars. I don't know if the whole world is really paying that close
attention.
It's an athletic crutch. Players say the whole world is watching.
Well, but he was just saying.
I know.
He's just saying the whole world, the NFL world. I don't think he was saying that, you know, people in.
Your eyebrows went up. You started laughing when you heard that as well.
I just thought it was funny.
Yeah,
I understand what he was saying.
And now look, real quick.
People are starting to respect what they're doing.
He's a young guy, and people are starting to look at Andre Branch now all of a sudden. I mean, we laughed at his cheap sack in St. Louis back in early October. But the last couple of weeks, here's a guy who's finishing up his second season, has a brand new staff. Todd Walsh is an excellent defensive line coach. All of a sudden, he's starting to look like maybe another offseason may help him. He may have something to offer.
Well, let's be fair. We killed him early.
Oh, it was terrible early.
We were hard on him, so let's be honest. He's one of the guys that obviously has bought into what Gus Bradley's talking about and is working hard because he's gotten better throughout the year. And I think sometimes we forget how young a player he is. Only a second-year player, and because he was a second pick, I think there was – you have these expectations and you want it right now. This is a right now league, and we're like that. The fans are like that. Everyone is. And he didn't give that right now stuff. But he's gotten better. He's been productive. He's pushing the pocket. He's made some nice moves. And what he's probably not getting credit for is he is also playing the run much better. He's much more stout. Listen, is he arrived?
No.
No. No one's saying that. But is he a guy who's ascending?
Yes.
Absolutely.
I can't tell you. If you saw the tape, and you will see it, you see a guy who is pushing the pocket continuously. So it was good to see him today. Time for our Bud Light play of the game. Brought to you by Bud Light. And this is easy. This is Texans are driving down the field, down just a touchdown. Andre Johnson gets a big catch there. All of a sudden now it looks like the Jags defense is really going to have to tighten down. Heart's rating a little fast before Ryan Davis comes up with the play of his young career. Here's third down and 10 for the Texans with 45 seconds remaining. Down 13-6. Keenum looks at the defense. The safeties are split at the numbers and deep. He'll take the snap. Four-man pressure. Keenum under a little bit of pressure, turns and dumps it underneath. It's bobbled and intercepted. Picked off. Is that Cindric Marks who took it off the hip of Keyshawn Martin?
No, I think that's
Ryan Davis.
What a play.
Ryan Davis comes up big, and the Jaguars seal the win 13-6 to keep the Texans out of the end zone today, which is good. It's always good. That's an understatement. It's good for this defense. And for the offense, again, we want to say they were able to do some things against the number one defense in football.
No, you know, absolutely. I thought offensively, you know, they did enough to win the ball game. The end of the day, you want to score more points than your opponent. The defense made that easier today because they didn't allow a touchdown, only gave up 6 points. The only thing that is curious to me is the last 2 weeks we have started so fast and we've looked so good on offense. I mean, going just right down the field, and then it's got quiet. Last week it was 2 drives, and they score again. This week it was the touchdown, then they had the field goal, and then it got really quiet for a long time offensively. Sometimes it was penalties that killed drives, 3 and outs, whatever it was. And that's something, as we talk about improving and getting better, that Jed Fish and his staff will continue to tinker with and to see how they can take that momentum that they have started so strong with and to carry that out throughout the game. Now, listen, you're not going to score every series. It's the NFL. This isn't college football. I mean, let's keep it in perspective. But as well as they've played in the first quarters as an offense the last 2 weeks, you'd like to see that carry over and extend throughout the game.
All right. Well, that'll do it for our broadcast here from Reliance Stadium. Thanks so much to Brent Martineau for working the Jaguars sidelines today. Really appreciate John Dineen from Atlantic Beach and Everbank making the trip with us here to help us. Also, Scott Kushner keeping everybody in line. And, well, I mean, there's just not enough adjectives to describe Joe Fortunato as the executive producer.
I can give you some.
Oh, please. Help us out. For Jeff Longman and Tony Baselli, we're saying goodnight. Jaguars win 13-6 in Houston. You've got an entire broadcast crew back at the HananiaAutos.com studios. JP Shadrick, Marco Coleman, Jay Gray, Linda and Ed, and the entire crew. You're in good hands, folks. Come back on the other side on the Jaguars Radio Network. Good night.
Jaguars postgame rolls along from the HananiaAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. It's a happy final at Reliance Stadium in Houston. The Jaguars over the Texans 13-6. JP Shadrick with Marco Coleman. Marco, what a day. They held on at the very last minute.
You know, they're 2-1 since the bye week. They learned how to finish games. I mean, to come up, to go away, back-to-back away games and get wins, they're saying a lot about a team with a lot of youth, about growing up.
I think Gus Bradley said it best in the postgame with Logan, though they battled adversity in all three phases today. And, you know, talking about it pregame, if this happened last season, that team would have folded under a lot of that pressure, and it might have been a different result. The last few weeks, that hasn't happened at all. This team has some resolve to them.
You see them taking advantage of all the opportunities and not killing themselves, not getting any turnovers on offense, creating opportunities. Well, you know, they're not coming up with them, at least stopping them, getting – you know, I think, 4 by 15 third downs as defense. They were, you know, 27% getting off the field as a defense. And offensively, being able to hold on to the ball and not giving it away. And it was a really good team win. It says a lot about the Jaguars
because
right now.
Because bad things do happen in football games, too. It's what happens
how
after
you respond.
That. Blocked field goal, remember? Yeah. That could have gone the wrong way. And
you figuring that has to go back to the head coach. I mean, these are the things that – the head coach has to take onus in it, and having a team prepared to deal with those adverse times, and you know, being able to just, hey, put away the last play and go into the next one. You know, I have to give a big shout out to Coach Bradley, getting them ready to grow. Coach him up.
Let's get into the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast questions of the game. Number one, what is different after the bye week with this team? And where did the old Jaguars team go?
Well, I'll say aside from playing some of the best teams in the league, you know, that first stretch of games, they played some of the toughest teams. You know, the last three haven't been really great, you know, but at the same time, it's a more physical team. That's something that you didn't see in those first few weeks. And offensively, MJD is just turning it up. He is playing at a higher level than he did in those first few weeks. And I say defensively also against the rush. They're shutting teams down. And that goes, that's all about physicality. Since they came out of bye week, they've been a more physical football team.
Number two, what does this say about the Jaguars' offense today? They outgained the Texans by about 115 yards in this.
Yeah, you know, it's impressive. Now it's about some consistency. And they did a really good job of being able to hold on to the ball, not turn the ball over. You figure this is a defense that was only allowing a league best 286 yards per game. Jags put up 331. 4.9 per play. They got a couple big plays by Ace, a couple big plays by Maurice. Put them up over 5 yards per play. I mean, those are the type of things that allows an offense to be productive, and especially against a really good defense. You know, they did a heck of a job. Quarterback play was outstanding, too.
Final question for you. What is the best part of this win today? What one thing is the best about this
win? I'd have to say the quarterback play. I mean, you know, we have not seen a quarterback play this well in a game in a while. You know, he didn't turn the ball over, made really good decisions, 72% completion ratio. I mean, these are the type of things that win games. Having a quarterback that controls the football game and the tempo, that's what Chad Henne did today.
That's right, 239, no touchdowns, no picks, rating of over 93.
And he had a really good day today.
A long time. Those are the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast questions of the game. Hey, Jacksonville was awarded the 30th franchise in the NFL November 30th, 1993, with our 20th anniversary coming up at the end of the month. We want to know where you were and how you reacted the day you found out. We'll put together a compilation of stories and photos. For more information, go to jaguars.com/jags20th or click on the Fan Zone tab. When we come back, we'll listen to the highlights from a win in Houston. First time the Jaguars have won at Reliant Stadium since 2009. They snapped a five-game skid in the head-to-head series today, 13-6 the final. More Jaguars postgame after this on Jaguars Radio.
This portion of Jaguars postgame is brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation, UL Knowledge Services, Eiselborn Chiropractic and Sports Medicine, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. Jaguars postgame continues right now.
Jaguars postgame rolls along. Jaguars improved to a record of 2-9 with a 13-6 win over the Houston Texans, who have dropped their ninth consecutive game, extending the longest losing streak in that franchise's history, and even further warming up the seat underneath Gary Kubiak. It's going to be a long week in Houston.
Fire!
And they're back in here
in
12 days from now.
Yeah, on a Thursday night.
That should be an interesting night for sure. The Jaguars have won back-to-back road games for the first time since 2008. They beat Indy and Denver in back-to-back road games that season. One for the first time at Houston since 2009. The Jaguars are now 2-1 in the AFC South. They're now in third place in the division ahead of the Houston Texans in the standings. Let's take a listen now to the Metro PCS Sexton summary for this game. The highlights. Well, there weren't many highlights in this game in terms of scoring. It started early. The Jaguars, for the third consecutive game, scored on their opening drive. It capped off a 10-play, 75-yard drive. Maurice Jones-Drew plunges in from a yard out to make it 7-0.
And he crouches under center Brad Meester and marks out the signals. Hands it off to Maurice Jones-Drew, who's in the end zone. Touchdown, Jacksonville.
7-0. Meanwhile, the Jaguars' defense came to play early. There was a string of four consecutive three and outs near the end of the first quarter into the second quarter for Houston. Midway through the second quarter, after a 7-play, 73-yard scoring drive, it was capped off by a Scobie field goal from 30 yards out. Made it a two-score game, 10-0.
From the hold of Brian Anger, left to right across your radio dial, the snap, the kick up on the way. It is good, and the Jaguars are out in front of the Texans, 10-0.
Good start for the Jags on this Sunday. A couple of drives later, the Texans will get on the board just right near halftime. Bullock from 49 yards out, 29 seconds left, makes it 10-3.
Right to left across your radio dial. There's the snap and the placement, the kick up all the way, plenty of distance. And he got it. So with 29 seconds to play in the first half, the Texans finally give their fans something to cheer about. Our score is 10-3.
And that left just a little bit of time. The Jaguars would go into the halftime locker room leading by a touchdown. The Texans did get the ball to begin the second half. They drove down the field again, 13 plays, but it ended on a field goal from 20 yards out. The drive stalled.
Here's Bullock with a 20-yard field goal attempt, much to the chagrin of the home crowd. Jaguars defense bends, but doesn't break. It's 10-6.
10-6 at that point. Ensuing drive, Jaguars trying to move the ball. They settle for a lengthy field goal, 49-yard chance for Scobie, and it is blocked.
Crowd comes to life, the snap, the placement, the kick up on the way. It's blocked. Scobie had it blocked. And the Texans are picking it up and trying to run it back, and the safety Key is still on the field, stepping out of bounds at the 49 in Jacksonville territory.
10-6 at that point. Ensuing drive, though, the Jaguars' defense would stop the Texans just inches short on fourth down. A review confirmed that call. A couple of drives later, Scobie nails one from 53. This was with 6:44 left in the fourth quarter. The Jags up a touchdown.
There's the snap and the placement. The kick up on the way. It's got plenty of distance. And he gets it inside the right upright to make it a 13-6 ball game with 6:44 to play.
6:44 to go. Jaguars up 13-6. Long way from over, though. The Jags had the ball with about 4 minutes and change to go. Trying to kill some clock. They had to punt it away at the two-minute warning. So the Texans, with no timeouts, had a chance to drive down the field. They were moving down the field on the Jaguars. But Ryan Davis, who was active today most likely because of the suspension of Jeremy Mincy, Davis comes through with a deflected interception to seal it.
He'll take the snap. Four-man pressure. Keenum under a little bit of pressure, turns and dumps it underneath. It's bobbled and intercepted! Picked off! Is that Cedric Marks who took it off the hip of Keyshawn Martin?
No, it's Ryan Davis.
Ryan Davis makes the interception to seal it. The Jaguars get a 13-6 win in Houston. The Jags are 2-9. They're 2-1 in the division. Houston is 2-9. They've dropped 9 games in a row. This will be an interesting week down in Houston, Texas. That's the Metro PCS Sexton Summary. With no signed contracts, Metro PCS lets you unlimit yourself. We'll come back. More from Marco Coleman after this timeout. A happy final in Houston. 13-6 Jaguars over the Texans. More after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. This portion of Jaguars postgame is presented by Geico. Putting a winning lineup together is tough. Getting a quote from Geico is not. Visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO or contact your local Geico office today. Final score in Week 12, the Jaguars over the Texans 13-6. Each team now 2-9. The Jaguars are out of last place. They're in third place in the AFC South ahead of the Texans. These two teams will meet again just 11 days from now here at Everbank Field on Thursday, December 5th, on that Thursday night football game on the NFL Network. Mm-hmm. The Jags will visit Cleveland next week, and Houston has a lot of things to figure out. They've now dropped 9 games in a row. We can go a lot of different ways here, Marco. Mm-hmm. Let's start off with your offensive player of the game. If you have to pick one guy, this one might be pretty easy.
Actually. Yeah, you got to go with Jay. I mean, he managed the game like a quarterback.
Not
should.
As easy as I thought, then, yeah, but go ahead.
I can understand you saying Maurice Jones-Drew, because he did a great job. I mean, he really did. You know, he accounted for a lot of plays and scored the only touchdown. But Chad Henne, you know, 32 attempts, 23 completions, 72% completion ratio, 239 yards. You know, 93% quarterback rating. I mean, he did all the things to manage a game. What you asked for him, a quarterback in this situation right now for the Jaguars, he was able to do. You haven't seen that in a while. I think what he was able to do allowed MJD to have the type of game. You know, he threw balls to MJD, handed the ball off to MJD. Yep. You know, so I'm going to have to go with Chad Henne today offensively.
Well, to go against that case, Jones-Drew had 14 carries, 84 yards, 44 of those on one long run. Now Jones-Drew, 6 receptions, 60 yards receiving today. That's a pretty solid all-around day and something we hadn't seen from Mojo at all this year, really.
Hey, it was a good day for him also. But, you know, hey, you can only get one.
That's all you got for Mojo?
Yeah, I mean, Mojo was a good day. I expect more from MJD. I mean, this is, you know, MJD is a Pro Bowler.
Okay.
I mean, getting 83 yards, I mean, we've seen this from him before, not this season. But, you know, hey, he does that all the time. I mean, I come to expect those type of things from MJD. But this season, as it pertains to quarterbacks, really the past two seasons, what Chad Henne did in this game was something that you haven't seen in quite a while. So, you know, I think that was impressive, especially against that defense that's coming after him after 4 sacks, is getting hit.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought it was a very good, composed game at the quarterback position today.
Let's go on the other side now. Plenty of options for defensive player of the game for you, Marco.
Like I said, it was some really good play, but Posluszny all over the field. Came up with some big hits, 14 tackles. I mean, you know, he was all over the place. Again, another player that, you know, he played the way we expect him to play. You know, all over the place, gritty, had a nice pass breakup. But then, like, those safeties, you know, they did a good job also. But I go ahead and slide it to Paz, you know, the leader of the defense.
Well, yeah, plenty of other options, too. Hayes had a good day. Cyprian nearly had an interception. Of course, Ryan Davis did at the end. Branch, you know, had another sack for a 19-yard loss.
I mean, yeah, you know, all in all, this was a team win. It's really tough in this game to say who really gave the biggest impact, because they needed everybody. needed Scobie to make some make the field goal.
That's true.
You know, it needed Anger again to, you know, come up with some big punts. It was everything that it takes to win a football game, and that's balance. Offense, defensively, run, pass, defense being able to stop the run and hold up on the pass, keeping the other team out of the end zone. Defensively, they did not allow a touchdown today. You know, came up on a big fourth down stop, big goal line stance. You know, it was impressive, a good team win.
13-6 is not pretty, but doesn't have to be. It's a W, right?
They never said it was had to be pretty. Just win, baby.
Thank goodness, because this wasn't, but it's a victory.
Yeah.
13-6, the final score. The Jaguars are now 2-9. They've won 2 out of 3 since the bye week. Totally different feel around here the last few weeks. We're going to take another timeout. When we come back, we'll go through the statistics from this game, individual stats, team stats. The Jaguars are now 2-9. They sent the Texans to their 9th consecutive loss today in Houston. 13-6 the final. More Jaguars postgame after this on Jaguars Radio. This portion of Jaguars postgame is presented by Gate. Nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today after a Jaguars win in Houston. 13-6. J.P. Shadrick with Marco Coleman on Jaguars postgame. Let's get into the stats here, Marco. Good day for the Jags. They outgained the Texans today, 333 to 218. Solid defensive effort for this team today. And the offense got a lot of things done. Efficient quarterback play, as you've said throughout the evening already, of course. And mojo with a solid day on offense combined for an all-around good day.
Yeah, like I said, between Henny and Maurice Jones-Drew, they dominated this game. Offensively, especially against a defense that hadn't been giving up a whole lot of yards. But at the same time, let's talk about that defense. Yes. Because they've had so many turnovers on their team, they've had to defend a short field quite a bit. So somewhat that 286 yards that they allow being number one, because that's what's really got them at number one, is the amount of yards they've allowed, you know, is a little bit deceiving. But with all that being said, you have one of the best defensive players in the league in J.J. Watt that – didn't really make a huge impact in dictating how the game was going.
He got his plays, but nothing too crazy.
They kept him, you know, I want to say, like, he didn't kill the game.
He didn't have five sacks.
He didn't just destroy everything. You know, they did a good job of opening up a few running lanes from time to time for Maurice Jones-Drew. You got to talk about his individual effort. Once he did break through, running through guys. And the second effort that he was getting, those yards after the catch when he caught balls, he did an outstanding job. And then, you know, and then a big plays. You figure you had the big play by Ace. Cecil. How about him? You know, asking for the ball. He got the catches, but it was a couple of drops that I think that's the thing that he has to get corrected. When he's asking for the ball, he's going to have to catch him, you know.
That's right.
Denard Robinson spotting. How about that?
Oh, nice ball.
Yeah, he had a really nice ball.
Net yards rushing for the Jags today. First time over 100 for the team this year. 118 yards on the ground compared to the Texans' 77. 215 yards passing for the Jags today. Only 141 through the air for the Texans. Jags were penalized 7 times for 63 yards. Texans twice for 22. And everything else, not much of a huge deal. Let's go individually now. And start off with Chad Henne. 23 of 32 today, 239 yards passing. He was sacked 4 times, which was a little concern in this game, certainly. No touchdowns, no picks, a rating of 93.1. There's stats that, you know, don't shoot off the page at you, but he managed the game and got a winning decision today.
And he made good decisions with the ball. He made good throws. Those are the things, again, that we've talked about that have been missing within the offense.
And throws downfield.
Throws down the field. That guy's just got to catch the ball. Yeah. You know, those are the things that have to happen at this point. You know, and standing within, you know, handling getting hit. You know, a lot of quarterbacks after getting hit and chased around like he did might have folded or created some turnovers, you know, things of that nature. He didn't do that. He kept the ball, didn't fump. Well, he dropped the ball that one time. It slipped out of his hand. That's recovered. But didn't have any, you know, actually didn't get the other team the ball and kept drives alive by taking what the defense gave him on those drives that they did have sustained drives.
In his career now, 16-29 as a starter, 3-11 as a starter with the Jaguars. Now for the running game, the leader on the ground today, of course, Maurice Jones-Drew, 14 carries, 84 yards. That long one of 44 where he wasn't touched, he said, until about 40 yards down the field, it seemed like, on that run over the left side that was very well blocked. An average of 6 yards per carry today, skewed by that one, but overall, a good grinding day for Mojo.
Yeah, again, he's bringing the physicality to the offense, you know, something they didn't have at the beginning of the season. And, I, you know, 84 yards rushing, he got 44 of it on one carry, so it can be a little deceiving when you talk about his rushing yards and that impact. But it's not so much the yardage. It's Maurice Jones-Drew having the ball. And these past 3 weeks since the bye week, he has made up of a big portion of what the offense was being able to do. You saw in the Arizona game in that second half when he wasn't a major part, what happened? You know, the offense wasn't able to sustain drives in that first half of that game and in the Tennessee game and here in this game. When Maurice Jones-Drew is a big part of the offense clicks. Whether it's a big play, you got to pay a lot of attention to him, which creates opportunities for other guys.
Mojo did score a touchdown on the first drive from 1 yard out, his 81st career touchdown, 68th career touchdown on the ground. And that touchdown tied him for the 30th most rushing touchdowns in NFL history with Thomas Jones and Eddie George, just a notable. And a rushing touchdown in three straight games for the first time since 2011 for Maurice Jones-Drew. And now six touchdowns in five career games at Reliant.
Now he likes Houston.
Yeah, I guess so. Everything's bigger in Texas, right? Let's go receiving now. Cecil Shorts the third, one of the damn ball, and he got it. 11 targets, 8 receptions, 71 yards. A few drops, but it happens from time to time. You'd love to have a couple of more catches from him today, but he has now surpassed a career high for receptions in a season. He needed 6 for the new mark. He got 8 receptions today, and he backed it up a little bit.
You know, a little bit. I mean, you got to take advantage of the balls that are thrown to you for the big plays. I mean, you know, those little short receiver screens and, you know, quick slants, you know, those are good plays. You know, you get tackled and you're down. But the plays when you have an opportunity to move the offense, that's what the big time plays. And he didn't come up with those catches, but he did get the ball more often, you know, made a few plays. Yeah, but, you know, hey, I don't think it was extremely impressive.
Well, let's remember the ones that he didn't catch then. The one down the sideline where his foot was out of bounds, that's one. The one from Denard Robinson that probably should have been caught.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the third.
And another one right after that one.
Right after the long
ball. He came right back to him and in defense. But, you know, it was a good day. I mean, offensively, you got to really look at what, you know, what Chad Henne was able to do. He spread, you know, he got the ball down his shorts, but yep. Sanders. Yep. You know,
I think Mojo,
you know, Mercedes got a catch, Harbor, Taylor. I mean, he got the ball around to the open guy. He wasn't forcing throws. I think it was all about Chad Henne today, managing the game, being in control of the offense.
Jones-Drew, 6 receptions, 6 targets, 60 yards receiving, along of 15. A Sanders targeted 5 times, made 4 catches, 61 yards, 51 of those on that first drive catch and run to set up the Jags' first touchdown. Lewis, 1 catch, 18 yards. Forsett, 1 for 9. Harbor, 1 for 8. Taylor, 1 for 7. Todman, 1 for 5. Like you said, yeah, spread it around everywhere.
Got it around.
Ryan Davis, who most likely he might not have been active today if Jeremy Mincy's on the plane and in Houston, but he is active, and he makes the interception to seal the game at the end, kind of capping off what kind of day it was for this Jags D.
You know, hustle. That's the whole deal. Since this team has come back, matter of fact, since – Coach Gus Bradley made that comment about the defense and not playing with the passion they was looking for.
Right.
This has been a different defense as it pertains to their effort and their intensity. And, you know, and you figure stopping the run, which they've been able to do since the bye week, is about a mind state and physicality. And they've stepped that up. They've turned that portion of their game up, and that's about hustle. And Ryan Davis on that play, that was a sure sign of exactly how that effort impacts the game.
Quickly, some Texan stats. Keenum today, 18 of 34, 169 yards, the interception rating of 54.7. Johnson on the ground for the Texans, 13 carries, 74 yards, a long of 29. Leading receiver, Graham, had 5 catches for 32 yards. Tate, 5 for 26. Andre Johnson, only 2 catches today. Targeted 6 times, so the Jags' coverage of Johnson very strong today in the secondary. I remember the Winston Guy play where he knocked it right out of his hands.
I mean, these three, the three rookies that start, you can see them coming of age. They had to see Fitzgerald. You know, Tennessee didn't have anybody really outstanding. You know, now this week against against Andre Johnson, they're getting challenged. You know, and they've been able to stand up to it, and they've gotten better. And I have to say the safety play, not only versus the pass, but against the run. When you play those zone blocking teams, it's all about that cutback. And they did a good job of showing up where the safety needs to be a lot of times in those running lanes to prevent some long runs. They have to be involved in that run, so you have to give them some credit also in what the run defense has been able to do.
Most important stat that matters, though, is the final score.
It's W.
A happy final today at Reliance Stadium in Houston. 13-6, Jaguars over the Texans. We'll come back with a look around the National Football League scoreboard in Week 12. A lot of tight games in the league early today. One of the early games is still going on. We'll get to that in just a moment. Jaguars a winner, 13-6. Jaguars postgame moves on after this on Jaguars Radio. This portion of Jaguars postgame presented by Geico. Geico has proudly supported the military for over 75 years. See how much Geico's military discounts could save you. Go to geico.com, call 1-800-MILITARY, or contact your local Geico agent today. Happy final for the Jags today in Houston, 13-6, a win for the first time since 2009 in Houston for the Jaguars. And they snap a five-game skid in the head-to-head series against the Texans. The Jags are now ahead of Houston in the AFC South Division standings, each team at 2-9. The Jags, though, are 2-1 in the division with the win head-to-head. These two teams will meet again two Thursdays from right now here at Everbank Field. Let's look at Week 12 of the NFL. Some really tight games today early. Cam Newton had to lead a late drive for the Panthers. They win their seventh in a row over the Dolphins today, 20-16 final. Seventh in a row overall, not seventh over the Dolphins. Panthers are 8-3. The Ravens over the Jets, 19-3. Ravens are now 5-6. Flacco had a long touchdown pass in the third quarter of that game. Other than that, a lot of field goals today in that one. The Chiefs fall at home. They fall to 9-2, back-to-back losses for the Chiefs. A late touchdown pass for Rivers. And the Chargers beat the Chiefs 41-38 in a thriller at Arrowhead. Boy, the second half of this game exploded. At St. Louis today, the Rams double up the Bears, 42-21. Big day for St. Louis in a win. They're now 5-6, a 21-point first quarter, 15 in the fourth quarter to get that done today. A final in Cleveland. The Steelers run away 27-11 final. Steelers are 5-6 after a really rough start. All of a sudden, the Steelers are hanging around now as Thanksgiving rolls around. The Lions, though, might be faltering a bit. The Buccaneers hang on for a 24-21 win in Detroit. The Bucs are now 3-8. Lions are 6-5. And there is one early game that is still underway. It is an overtime game. It ended in a tie. Vikings and Packers each had an overtime field goal. The final score, 26-26. The Vikings and the Packers are ended in a tie game today at Lambeau Field, like kissing your sister. Second games of the day are underway now, the 4 o'clock games. Early second quarter, Titans over the Raiders 6-3. Early second quarter, Cardinals over the Colts. How about that? 14-3. That's in Arizona. Cowboys with an early touchdown over the Giants, 7-0. And, of course, the night game, Broncos at the Patriots. That's a look at Week 12 in the National Football League. Final score at Reliance Stadium in Houston, 13-6. Jaguars are 2-9 with a win over the Houston Texans, who've dropped their ninth consecutive game to fall to a 2-9 record. Marco Coleman rejoins us after this for final thoughts. Jaguars postgame continues after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Final segment of Jaguars postgame. It's brought to you by Presentation Resource Incorporated, PRI Productions. JP Shadrick, Marco Coleman, happy final. 13-6, Jaguars are 2-9. The Texans are also 2-9. The Jags are ahead of the Texans in the division. They've snapped a five-game skid against Houston. And now they'll look forward to a trip to Cleveland next week. The Browns fell today 27-11 to the Steelers. The Browns are 4-7. They were strong early this season, but didn't get a lot done today against their arch nemesis at home. So the Jaguars will head into Cleveland Thanksgiving weekend. All of a sudden, a brand new team. Two out of the last three games have been wins after the bye.
It's been real good, you know. But fortunately for the Jags, they go and see another team with a losing record. They've been doing pretty good with the teams with the losing records now that they've come out of the bye.
Got to run the ball still and efficient quarterback play.
Yeah, consistency. That's going to be the deal for the entire team, not just with the quarterback, but also defensively. They're going to go and have to stop the run, stop the pass. I think they, you know, continue to get pressure on the quarterback that they also have been able to do in this last game. And the defense blitzing-wise, you figure they've opened it up a little more defensively as far as the different looks they're also giving these offenses, which I think has allowed them to get the type of pressure that they've been able to get thus far. So consistency is the key. I believe we heard that said from Coach Gus Bradley.
So three solid games for the Jags. The result last week, not what they wanted, but 2-1 after the bye. This team is now 2-9. Marco, we'll see you next week.
See you next week.
1 o'clock kick next week as the Jaguars visit Cleveland and the Browns. We'll go on air at noon Eastern time on the Jaguars Radio Network. Senior VP of Communications for the Jaguars is Dan Edwards. Executive Producer of Jaguars Radio, Mike Dorwart. Manager of Jags Radio, Joe Fortunato. Producers are Tim B., Linda Fortunato, and Ed Rocco. The anchor of Jaguars pregame is Kevin Rafusen. Jay Gray is the Jaguars pregame reporter. For Marco Coleman, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Vaselli, and Brian Sexton, this is J.P. Shadrick saying goodnight once again. A happy final in Houston. Jaguars 13, the Texans 6 on the Jaguars Radio Network.